Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me today. You're going to be glad you did because we got our good buddy Jim Ostroff back on the show. Jim is associate editor with Kiplinger Washington Editors. They're the folks, the family-owned business, ladies and gentlemen, the family-owned publishing company, financial publishing, business publishing company. They've been around since the early part of the 20th century and still family-owned, family-run. It's one of the great success stories of America. Jim Ostroff is one of the outstanding members of that operation. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim, and a little late, but Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year to you, too. By the way, Jim, just a quick note here. Today is the anniversary, the 49th anniversary.
Right.
The 49th anniversary of Alaska's becoming the 49th state of the union.
49.
Right. Now you're a lot younger than me, but perhaps you remember when I was in elementary school when Alaska became the state. And what I remember was, what's the flag going to look like? How do we put 49? States stars on a flag, and I do remember what it looked like. I remember that they actually did it, but see, I've got this theory that they were already working on Hawaii, and they said, you know, if we get Hawaii brought in here pretty quickly, we won't have to build all these new 49 star flags. We'll just go ahead and make it 50, and that'll work. 49 won't work, but 50 will. Do you think?
A couple of months later, Hawaii joined the union in 50, and in fact, I remember too. I was in elementary school.
But my theory, Jim, is that they rushed Hawaii through so they wouldn't have to make a bunch of flags that they were going to have to throw away anyway.
They were going to delay Hawaii for decades, but they said no. Balance it out.
But isn't it a coincidence, though, that they came along so quickly?
I know, they did. They did within a few months of each other in 59.
And, you know, Puerto Rico, a lot of people in Puerto Rico would like to be a state.
Right.
They think Puerto Rico should be a state. And I wonder how much of that, of the hesitation for that is because what in the world would we create a 51 state flag? A flag with 51 stars. How would that happen?
It would be tough. We'll find a way if need be, but...
We could kind of hang it off the edge, you know, kind of sew it onto the edge, and then kind of flap, hang off the edge there. Okay, Jim, we're going to delve into the Kiplinger letter this week, and of course, front and center, Jim, is, as you guys point out this week, is the economy for 2008, and I like the way you guys approached this issue this week, and I want you to tell the audience what you guys did.
I mean, I'm saying short. Like everything, you know, we said nothing is black and white. There certainly are negatives, warning signs, maelstroms ahead. But on the other hand, there are some very positive underlying economic developments and situations which make it sort of unlikely that the nation's economy will enter recession this year, assuming we have nothing big that goes bump in the night. And as you know, as we were saying, that if every negative, there's a positive that offsets the problems.
You know, Jim, when I think about the way the economy is right now, the condition that it's in, we got a sack load of negatives, we got a boatload of positives, and then I think about the presidential election, all the different positions. There's no clear front runner in either party. Several really strong candidates on both sides. This thing could be, and with the compressed primary cycle that we've got this time, I can't help but think about that great Chinese curse.
May you live in interesting times.
Bingo. I believe 2008 is going to be as close to that curse as we've ever seen. What do you think?
It's going to be very interesting. Not only with the elections, of course, but I believe energy, oil, gasoline is going to be a very big issue.
Yep.
International situations, numerous hotspots, and numerous things that, you know, really could create enormous problems, likely will be in the news. You know, and I have to say, even this, we have been now fairly lucky the last 2 years not to have had any major hurricane cause damage in the U.S.
Right.
Or the violent storm. Every year we go without one means that next year could be. So there are a number of things to at least keep a good close watch on.
Well, and I really wish that the politicians, the ones running for president right now, could see your letter and take a little bit of a lesson from you guys, Jim, because all I hear people talking about are all the horrible things that are wrong with the United States that they want to fix. I would vote for the person who would say, you know what, we got some problems, but there's a lot of pretty darn good things about the United States, and I'm going to do my best to make sure that the government doesn't get in the way of those things. Let those things flourish. That's the kind of candidate I want, Jim.
Well, it sounds like the great communicator to me, but in a way, it really is, you might say it is true. And, but the thing is, of course, with politicians, it would be as if they went down to Florida right now to do the local news and say, I'm standing here under a palm tree and, you know, it's bright and sunny and not much wind and things are really pretty good. How many votes are they going to get with that? So, of course, people say, you know, they're shivering and saying this is terrible and you need my help.
But see, this I think this speaks to Americans. Americans, I think a lot of Americans don't realize that they have the power of their own future in their own hands. They have control of their own future in their own hands. But so many times we look to the government to bail us out, to help us. And that's a trend that that's not a pretty one for me in the United States.
It can be disconcerting, certainly at times, where people say, you know, you have. And the thing is, the government does have a lot of answers, except they're often to the wrong question.
They're often wrong, aren't they?
They're often wrong.
Right.
But really. You know.
Yeah. Hold on to that thought. We're going to get, folks, when we come back, we're going to get into some of the things that are kind of working against us for the economy for 2008. And then we're going to talk about some of those good things. We're going to play the glad game, the Pollyanna glad game, and talk about some of the things that we really have that are good fundamentals that we really should be proud of and kind of balance out some of the negatives. It's good that we have those, isn't it? 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you for hanging around with us. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's with the Kiplinger Letter, the outstanding Kiplinger editors out of Washington, D.C. And we're talking about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days, especially with regard to the 2008 economy. Jim, some of the negatives, some of the headwinds that we've got coming at us right now, one of the big ones that you guys report this week that we all know about is the housing industry.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And that is really the first and foremost challenge right now. And, you know, we looked at this very close. We continue to, and, you know, we think that falling housing prices, even flat housing prices, will be a drag on consumer spending. And prices probably will slip about, on average, you know, 5% this year compared to 2007. But, you know, there had been declines, but there will be declines of up to 20%. It's over 2 years in certain regions where there were extremely red-hot markets, like in Florida, California, the Southwest, and maybe the Northeast. And ultimately, you know, that of course, is a negative effect, a drag on consumer spending, as people really cannot do much, if any, refinancing to get money out of their homes as they had in.
Well, we're starting to have to to inherit the whirlwind here.
That's right.
You know, Jim, we're reaping what we sow. Pardon the double metaphors there, but
right,
we are
right.
we're the mixed metaphors. We are reaping what we sowed. I mean, we've enjoyed a long run of consumer spending, largely based on debt that was created with homes. Even if people didn't borrow against their homes, they believed that they were wealthier than they were because their home prices were up. And so now there's some sanity that's come back to the marketplace. And, you know, and the thing is, Jim, this is gravity. It's all about, I mean, there's gravity is, Mr. You know, gravity is alive and well. Mr. Gravity is alive and well in the marketplace as well as it is in nature.
You can't defy it forever.
Yeah,
and there's no surprise here. You know, I mean.
So let's quit wringing our hands and realize that, you know, if you're gonna you can't appreciate the peaks if you don't ever go to the valleys, and we're heading towards one of those little valleys now.
Right, right. But it was overextended the other way, and we reported at the time, and others too, that things were just overextended, and pardon the expression, but irrational exuberance had set in. And people, you couldn't continue that way. And so we're having the correction that everybody expected. But, I mean, we later go on to talk about why there are some positives here as well. So it's not all bleak on the housing front.
Which we're going to talk about in a minute.
Right.
I do remember, though, declaring on this show, in the interest of, you know, full disclosure, that there was not a housing bubble. Well, I didn't believe that there was a national housing bubble. I still actually don't. Mm-hmm. But the thing is what we didn't talk about, and what we never even heard Mr. Greenspan talking mm-hmm. about, was the problems with the subprime mortgage industry.
Right. No. And that is some, you know, real. I mean, it sort of helped, but it's another issue. And I would say no, not because a bubble bursts and leaves destruction in its wake. I mean, destroys everything. It didn't destroy everything. It really, honestly, objectively, is a correction.
And let me tell you something else, Jim. Every time there's a correction, somebody makes an opportunity out of it.
Well, there is.
This is not bad news for everybody.
No.
If you've been sitting on the sidelines thinking that housing prices were too high, mm-hmm. now's a good time. Now may be the time for you to start looking at buying an investment property or something like that. I mean, there's opportunity in all this. And see, that's what a free market system, that's the beauty of a free market system,
right.
Jim. Every time, as you well know, every time something like this happens, it creates opportunity for somebody else.
Right. And we're in the midst of a correction to the correction right now.
Yeah.
And it'll happen this year. And at some point, what I'm saying, we believe this year, things will get back in line more or less again. And yes, all these people who said, I can't afford that, or said, I can, but if I get this extraordinary mortgage where I have to stand on my toes and then refinance, et cetera, at some point, they won't have to do that. So housing, you know, ownership, housing and mortgages will increase again.
The other thing you guys talk about is you say borrowing costs are going to be growing. Even though the Federal Reserve is going to be cutting rates, but what borrowing are you talking about, Jim? Because I haven't seen any evidence that anything that's happening in the credit crisis right now is hurting small businesses, for example.
It doesn't really appear to be, and. And we were saying here is it's over just borrowing in general, and we use a couple of benchmarks such as the junk bond yields, which are now but it's saying it's 4 percentage points over what the T bill is, what treasuries are, and it's going to climb, you know, even beyond that.
But you know what's going to happen, Jim? The risk tolerance is what's going to be hurting people. I don't think it's going to be a situation of how much you have to pay for credit as much as it is whether you can get credit for certain things. More and more people are not credit worthy based on the new parameters, the new risk tolerance. And whereas, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago they were given credit, today they're not being given credit. Stand by 29 after. We're going to be right back with our good friend Jim Ostroff. Stay with us.
Oh, You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You've been listening already. Thank you for that. Jim Ostroff is our guest. I know that's why you're hanging around today, because Jim's in the building, and we're talking about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world, primarily some of the headwinds right now. Just for a few more minutes, we're going to talk about some more of the headwinds that the economy is facing right now. We've been talking about the housing issue, the cost of loans. You know, Joan, I'll just repeat this one more time. I think it's worth repeating. In the surveys that I'm seeing, and the small business owners I'm talking to, and the bankers that I'm talking to, small business owners have access to capital, to borrowed capital with their bankers.
I would say probably higher rate than many others. Just the nature of the business of most small businesses, I mean, there's not a lot of fluff there.
Irrespective of the other challenges, maybe the banks are maybe tightening up their standards a little bit more, but the rates that they're getting are still tied to the Fed funds rate, which is now at 4.25, which makes prime 7.25. And everybody believes, including me, that the prime's going to be that Fed funds are going down over the next year, which means that prime's going to be going down, which means the cost of money is going to be going down.
Right.
And this is good business for small business. And Jim, this is another reason why I'm saying that small business will lead this economy out of whatever doldrums it's in right now.
And it usually does after every recession or slowdown. And during the good times, too. It's not going out there and, you know, rah-rah, but small businesses are the engine of job creation, growth, and innovation.
Absolutely. I'm going to be talking about that, folks, later in probably the very first of next week, maybe tomorrow. Still not quite sure about that, about my predictions for 08. It'll include some things that I'm going to be saying about you, small business owners. Energy prices, Jim. This is the bad. This is serious headwind. The light sweet crude went over $100 a barrel yesterday.
Briefly, and it's closed a whisker below 100. It likely is moving higher. And I should say that overall, whether it's 99 or 101, at that level and at that level of price of fuels, ultimately that is passed down. It's an extra cost that crimps many consumers.
It's a tax, Jim.
It's out there, and it hits everybody. And to that extent, ultimately, it drains, it restricts business revenues, particularly any company, a manufacturer, retailer, or anyone that ends up eventually paying a fuel surcharge.
Yep.
Because they have to transport goods and raw materials. And even if you don't, this thing gets passed down the line. So it's a headwind, but it's not a Category 5 hurricane.
Well, but only because we use less petroleum per dollar of GDP than we used to.
That
helps us a lot. But still, Jim, that's cold comfort when we're putting, you know, $60, $70 into our gas tanks.
That's right. And you know, there are certainly some group of consumers who are much more sensitive, and they pull back, and they spend less, or they look for ways to spend less. So
right.
Ultimately, that's less money in the economy, less spending, but it's not fatal. It's a
well, and the thing that's really troubling to me about energy is how much of it, of the price we're paying right now, is based on speculation. Many people believe, and they've said this on the show, including Steve Forbes and others, that they believe that there could be as much as 20-25% of the price we're paying for oil today is speculation and not the supply and demand factor.
Energy is one of my prime beats, and I agree. The price of oil, people say now, reasonably would be $60-$65 a barrel,
yeah,
not around 100. But that is our market. That is the way we do things. We have individuals, or it could even be companies, but who set the price of oil,
right.
as opposed to you might say some oil companies or oil producers.
And Jim, this leads us right into inflation. Even though energy, incredibly, is not part of the core inflation rate that the Fed tracks, it is inflationary, and it's inflationary at all levels. And so that's another thing that we got to deal with, is the inflationary issues that are coming at us. These are all headwinds, folks. When we come back, there are a few things out there that are going to be pushing us towards recovery in 2008. We're going to talk about those things. We're going to play the Pollyanna Glad game right after these messages. 20 till. Stay with us.
Sure plays a mean pinball. I see light and it's passing right before my eyes.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. I hope you'll use those to your advantage and take advantage of all the things that we have there that are for you for free and to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. You can find the show, the archives, the articles, the newsletter, the blog, all that stuff's there just for you. Please go there and check it out. And also askjim.biz is our knowledge base where you can get small business answers now. And the Kiplinger folks have an outstanding website too, folks, kiplinger.com, where you can find a lot of good information, a lot of free stuff there too. But if you want more, they do have a subscription opportunity for you, and that's to get the letter, the Kiplinger letter, the one that I work off of that I've been reading for decades now. You can get that electronically on Friday. You can get it by mail on Monday. Every week, that's the weekly publication that's been around now. 85th year, right, Jim? You're in the 85th year of that one?
This week, 85 years.
Yep.
Exactly.
And so that is, that's the Kiplinger letter. And then there are the three biweekly letters, the California letter, the tax letter, the agriculture letter, and then the magazine, Jim.
That's correct. Right.
The personal finance, Kiplinger's personal finance magazine. And then how about a phone number?
Yeah, there's a toll-free number for information. That's 800-544-0155.
Be sure to ask for the 30-day free trial that I worked so hard to negotiate for you. So don't forget to take advantage of that. Hey, Jim, let's talk about some of these tailwinds, some of the following sea that we got coming at us here that might help us pull out of the doldrums, as you guys call them. Talk to us about the consumer spending issue. There's some news there.
That there is. I mean, you know, we expect per capita, you know, personal income from salaries, wages, bonus, dividends, and all of those things, really is a positive, and it will remain strong. You know, in 2007, you know, the gains were at an annual rate of about 2.5% in every quarter, and that's after taxes and inflation. That's going to remain strong.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, employment continues to grow.
Jim, this is one of the biggies to me. How can you have a deep recession when not only do you have almost record employment, you have almost record unemployment, and I'm sorry, on the low side, and there are 2 million jobs that can't be filled right now? How can you have a recession like that?
Well, that's why this is a positive that is spurring the economy and spurring growth, as well as the fact that productivity growth really remains fairly strong.
Yeah.
It's now about 2%, a tad down from 2.5% in the 90s, but the bottom line is that companies are still getting a good, solid, more output, you know, from input, every hour of labor input,
mm-hmm.
and that helps productivity.
Well, but Jim, one of the reasons why productivity is down is because we got jobs that are going wanting.
You can't.
I mean, how often have you walk around in a place, any mall, any business, and how many want ads do you see? How many help wanted ads signs do you see in the windows? A lot.
That's right.
You see a lot of businesses. That affects productivity. Jim, I actually believe that we're in more danger of a downturn from not having enough people to do the jobs as we are from any of these other factors.
You may well be right, and that is a real concern. It's a real concern at some point if you cannot fill jobs. And we've had a lot of anecdotal information here from many of our subscribers who are businesses just like you, and they say, we're scouring the countryside. We need good people. And that's an issue. It's a real issue. What if you don't have enough key people to do the job? Any job. That really is an issue.
I'm seeing it and I'm feeling it in my own business, in businesses around me, the people I talk to. It's a serious issue. Jim, one of the tailwinds that we have right now is the Federal Reserve is determined, as you guys point out, to keep the economy going, and they've got some ammunition, don't they?
Well, yeah, they still have some room to cut the federal funds rate, which ultimately affects what people have to pay to buy some, to borrow money. And, they may even, over this year, could even cut as much as perhaps one full percentage point. They could. Not saying they will, but they could. They have room. And they'll do whatever it takes, to keep that credit pump prime. And that's important. They have room, they have the ability, and they have the will, and they'll do that. Of course, over here, we continue to see advances in energy conservation and technology that helps, as you were saying before, it helps companies use less energy per unit of production or whatever.
People are, a lot of times, I asked, 2 years ago, I asked economists, With oil prices rising, why isn't the economy being hurt? And what they've said to me, and they continue to say, is the United States relies on petroleum less per dollar of GDP than ever before. We're being more conscious and we're conserving energy more than we, and we're not getting credit for that. You didn't see any of that in Al Gore's movie, by the way.
No, but the
marketplace is doing a pretty darn good job of conserving energy for the dollar of GDP, which I think is the important way to look at it.
Right. We use about half as much energy today as we did, say, in the late 70s, to produce that same given output. And part of that, of course, is ingenuity. And we're saying we have machines and devices and software that enable individuals and companies to do things with less energy use.
As an example, folks, 1990 economy was half of what our economy is today, less than half, and yet we don't use double the petroleum. In this economy. I'll take a quick break. We got more good news, more things to be happy about. Playing the glad game here with Jim Ostroff. More things to be happy about, things that are positive about the economy that I believe are going to come to bear in 2008, and it won't be as bad as a lot of people think it's going to be. Stand by. Here we go. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking and rolling with our good friend Jim Ostroff, Associate Editor with the Kiplinger Washington Editors, and a good friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Jim, I don't know if I've said it lately, and I don't know if I've said it on the air, but we appreciate you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate all the work you do, and so do a lot of people. Great work.
Well, thanks, but we're glad to have you here, and we appreciate you being part of our Brain Trust and being available to us. We like the things that you say. We're talking about, folks, the tailwinds, the following seas that the economy has out there, and one of the things, Jim, is you guys talk about the corporate balance sheets are still strong. And not only that, Jim, I think we should go ahead and pull out one of the lines of the corporate balance sheets. I don't know what it is today, but up until recently, corporations, big major corporations, were known to be hoarding cash. When you've got that kind of cash reserves, that's not sending companies into tailspins.
No. And in fact, we looked at this, and the S&P 500 industrial firms have like nearly $625 billion in cash.
Yeah.
And 40% of long-term debt, and it's twice the ratio in 1997.
Yep.
So there is a lot of cash to cushion any problems. Absolutely.
Right. Another thing, Jim, you guys point out is the government can have an open hand. They can, through government spending.
Mm-hmm.
What is the government's part of the economy? About 15%, 20%? I've forgotten what it is.
It's close to 20%. When you look at all the money they continue to spend on defense, entitlement programs such as Social Security. I got to say, you know, sometimes people give it a rap, but the thing is, it does prime the pump.
And part of it's health care, part of it's health care, like Medicaid, Medicare. Another thing, Jim, to think about, though, and this is a little bit of a downer, part of the government's open hand is defense spending, as you said, including the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. One of the reasons why we had the recession in 69, Jim, was I actually did a report on this in college, was because the government was cutting back on the commitment to Vietnam, and that redistribution of work of business, converting it from government from military to others, and that transition it created the recession of 69.
It certainly helped bring down the economy then.
So if we pull back in Iraq and Afghanistan, if we pull back in some of our commitments overseas in defense spending, that could have a little bit of a negative effect. So that's actually can be a two-edged sword there on the government's part. Another thing, Jim, talk to us about the core inflation rate. What is core inflation rate? About 2.5?
It's right now, it's... I think it's around, 2.5%. It's very tame. And, of course, that omits energy and food, which are very volatile.
Right.
But it's around 2.5%, and it's no way will it get out of bounds or ignite and flame. So that is a very positive factor for the economy, tame inflation. It allows other things to grow, as opposed to a situation, for instance, we saw in the late 70s, very early 80s, with stagflation. I think, and the big part here was that inflation is roaring, so whatever gains we made are taken back, and that's why we had a double dip recession.
Well, and Jim, the thing is globalization is helping to hold down inflation prices.
Inflation
percentages, because of the productivity of the globe, we're able to move jobs into the places where they need to really be conducted, and that holds prices down. A lot of people don't like globalization, but they sure do like the fact that they can buy things today for almost exactly what they bought them for 5 years ago.
Exactly, and there's also huge foreign investment in the U.S., another positive. It's never black and white. Positive, negative, that is a positive, helping our economy.
Well, that's exactly right. And so not only the inflation rate, but the value of the dollar. A lot of people don't like the fact that the dollar's down right now, but that's giving companies, it's making investing in the United States a good deal right now.
It does. And, of course, it is a reason why we're seeing roaring exports, up. It could be near 10% this year after a 12% growth last year.
Right.
There's more demand for good U.S. products, and it's more available. And, of course, it means overseas U.S. companies can sometimes get a bargain.
Jim, we've got to wrap it up. But bottom line is we got about as many, maybe more positive things about our economy than we got negative.
More positive.
And I think the issue is, are we going to talk ourselves into a recession more than that we're going to actually have one because of the fundamentals? Jim, thanks for being here.
Good job. Thank
Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.